Praise the Lord. Welcome to this program of R.G. Hardy Ministries, because we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I'm Sharon Knotts, thanking you for tuning in today, because we have a very special message for you if you are married or are planning to be married. If so, this message by my father, Brother Hardy, is one you don't want to miss. Two shall be one. Even if you have a good marriage, you can benefit from this down-to-earth biblical teaching, two shall be one.
This morning we want to talk on the subject, marriage. Two shall be one. Marriage. Two shall be one, and I want to answer by the scriptures the husband's part in a marriage and the wife's part in the marriage. First of all, in Hebrews 13:4, the Word of God says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God shall judge. So God says marriage is an honorable vocation. In fact, God was the first matchmaker. God was the first matchmaker. He brought Adam, his wife, and he blessed the institution of marriage. In fact, he said in Genesis 2:18, it's not good for man to be alone. In other words, he ordains marriage, and God says that man really should get married. How many say amen? I know some of you might have a little reservation since you got married, but nevertheless, God said it's not good for man to be alone. In other words, that he should have a wife. Let's go to Genesis, the second chapter, and the 18th verse, and let's see the first matchmaker, God, in his job of getting Adam a bride. The 18th verse said, and the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. So it's not good for man to be alone. Man should have a wife. God said about Adam, the first man, I'm going to make him a help or a helper meet. And the word meet here means fitting, proper for him. But first of all, God created all the animals out of the ground, birds of the air, the animals, the creepers, and he brought them to Adam to see what Adam would call them and whether Adam would have chosen one of them to be a helpmeet. And all the animals paraded by, and God let Adam join him in creation by naming the animals. And he named every one of them. 20th verse said, and Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. In other words, when God brought all of the families of the animals before Adam, and he named them, he said, there's not one suitable to be my wife. Adam says, I don't choose any of them. You know, so all these theories that we come from, you know, of evolution, we evolved from animals, that blows that right there. That just throws that out. Adam said, no, there's not an animal that's fit to be my mate and help me to produce a race of our kind. So when all of these educated nincompoops say that we evolved two theories, we come from scum or we climb from slime, that's not what the Bible says. I didn't come from scum and I didn't climb from slime. I'm a product of God's direct handiwork. Give him a good clap offering. Made in his image and after his likeness. So So said then that God named all of the animals, but there was not one suitable of the animal kingdom to be his mate. God said it was not good for him to be without a mate, so God put him to sleep. 21st verse said, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the 22nd verse said, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto him. He made a woman. And that word in the Hebrew is very special. It means skillfully made. So women, you're skillfully made. God skillfully made you and created you. And then God now fulfills his role as matchmaker. He brings Adam's wife to him. And let's see Adam's reaction in the 23rd verse. And Adam says, and the Hebrew says, finally. In other words, he watched all the animal kingdom come by. He watched the male line and then his mate, the female line, and everyone. But there was no helper for him, no counterpart for him, no mate for him. But when God brought Eve, after he skillfully made her, the Hebrew said, finally, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. 23rd verse. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. How many say amen? And then the Bible said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You see, no other creature was suitable. God had to take a part of Adam, the rib, but the Hebrew word means he took more than the rib. He took flesh, because Adam said, she's not only bone of my bone, not only a rib, but flesh of my flesh. Some people said, why God did God take it out of her side? Well, some people believe that he didn't take it out of her head so she'd be above him. Didn't take a bone out of her foot so she'd be underneath him. But took him out of his side so that she would be close to him and he would love her and protect her. Is that all right? So Miss Eve was skillfully made, specifically designed for Adam. And I believe if you let God be your matchmaker, especially young people that I'm talking to here in the service and by radio and television, you Christian young people that are not married, I believe it's the most important thing after you get saved, is to find who is your mate. And I believe that if you will pray that God, just like he was the first matchmaker for Adam, God will get your mate and bring your mate to him, to you. Now, Eve was supposed to be a counterpart. In fact, you could translate that verse and I was going to make him a helpmeet, or I'm going to make him an equal counterpart, which is like the right hand and the left hand. Now, Miss Eve wasn't inferior to Adam because she was taken out of Adam. She was Adam's flesh, not an inferior flesh. How many say amen? She was equal to him. She was of the same substance, of his same bone and of his same flesh. Adam said, boy, this is my mate because she's me. She's my bone. She's my flesh. We are one flesh and we're equal. She's not inferior. You see, if the woman was inferior, that would mean that her children would be inferior. And if her children would be inferior, then the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, that would ultimately come by the woman, would be inferior. And how many knows that Jesus is not inferior? How many say amen? She was equal. She was the counterpart. God was supplying what was lacking in Adam. And if you will pray, God will give you the right mate to complement your weaknesses and supply that weakness. He'll make you that right hand that you are as a man. He'll give you the left hand. Now, I don't think my left hand's inferior to my right. Not at all. I don't tell my left hand, you're inferior. I don't know why God gave you to me. I know this is a right-handed world mainly, and most of us are right-handed, and we do so many things with our right hand, but God gave us our left hand as a complement and an enablement and a helper. Tie your left hand behind your back and begin to go through the day and see how many things you can't do without it. And I believe God will give you your complement. I believe God will give you your mate with the talents and the abilities that you lack. You know, we just think we're perfect. How many say amen? And we got everything, but you know, we lack. And God said it's not good for man to be alone. Said not only because of his loneliness, but because he lacks some things. And I'm going to give him a helper equal to him. Fitting for him, proper for him, not inferior, but equal on the same footing, to compliment him, and that together they're going to rule the earth.
Amen. I hope you're blessed by this informative and inspirational message by my father, Brother Hardy, Two Shall Be One. We feel strongly that every Christian marriage should examine itself in the light of God's Word to be sure that they are applying godly principles for a healthy and holy marriage. This teaching defines and expounds the very important meanings of the terms headship and submission, and these are areas that are often misused and abused in marriage. Also addressed are the questions, what is the biblical role of the husband in marriage? What is the biblical role of the wife? And what about the role of sex in marriage? These issues are soundly addressed in this vital, practical, and enlightening teaching, Two Shall Be One. Now, you may want to add this to your spiritual library or share it with someone who is getting married or someone having marital problems. It is available on a double CD set for a love gift of $15 or more to the radio ministry. Request offer 215. That's offer 215. Our mailing address is Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Or if you prefer, order online at rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. Visit both our e-store and Faith is Action archives. Faith is Action is our monthly magazine, which features messages by my father, Brother Hardy, and myself, like today's. You can join our postal mailing list and receive the printed magazine in your mailbox every month free. So whether you prefer to download online or have it delivered to your home, Faith is Action is serious reading for the serious Christian. Again, this is a two CD set for a love gift of $15 or more. Request offer 215. Our mailing address is Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Until next time, this is Sister Sharon saying, Maranatha.